As we said already, he is risen. And you answered?
He is risen indeed.
And we live every day with that in mind, but we want to especially today think of what Christ did. And today we have, we want to tell a tale of three men who met at the cross. And we'll be selecting from the Gospels. We're not going to read them all completely, but it's a great story. Gentlemen, for some reason this TV's not on. That's so I can tell what slide you're looking at. We appreciate all this technology, but sometimes I can't keep up with it. The men that we're going to look at today, of course, the key man is the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the cross to carry our sins with him so that we could be forgiven and restored to God. But there are three other men. One is the one who carried the cross. The other was the one who crucified Christ. And the last one was the one crucified with Christ. So we have the cross carrier. We know who that is, Simon of Cyrene. You've heard his name before. You've read it in the gospel accounts. And then the Roman centurion, the one who crucified Christ and the men under his order. And then the one who was co-crucified with him. I used to say the thief on the cross, and as I was studying for this, I realized, no, that's not the right word. It's the robber on the cross. Thief is a different word, kleptes. This is laistes. And this is a robber or a bandit, or a highwayman, someone who uses violence. And it's also used for those who did the insurrection against Rome. We know that Barabbas was one of those people, and this man might have been in one of Barabbas' men, or he could have been simply a robber. But that's the word used there. So I changed it from thief on the cross to robber on the cross. Let's read. There's five verses. Read them with me. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put on his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. Now, the Roman soldiers had a right given to them by Roman law that they could make any person carry their pack for 1 mile. And perhaps you remember the teaching of Jesus. He said, if anyone forces you to carry a mile, don't carry it a mile. Carry it 2 miles. And I'm sure that that never happened to any Roman soldiers before. And when that did happen, they were very surprised and say, why are you going an extra mile? And they could then say, because of our teacher, our rabbi, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus was flogged severely. He carried his own cross. And then either he couldn't carry it anymore, or he couldn't carry it fast enough for the soldiers. So they grabbed this man from the crowd and they said, you carry it. And probably it wasn't the whole cross like this. It was only the horizontal beam. They used these crosses over and over again. And typically they were quite heavy. The whole cross would have weighed about 300 pounds and this beam would have been about 100 pounds. And so, yes, a man can carry it, but not one who's been beaten almost to death. And so they pressed him into that. Think about it. This man came to worship at the festival. And perhaps he lived there. He could have moved there, and he's still called Simon of Cyrene. Or perhaps he came in only for the festival, because that's what they would do. Jews from all over would come for these three festivals, and this was one of them, the high festival, or the Passover. And he would have to bring a lamb, and he would have to give a sacrifice. But now he's forced to carry this cross, this beam of the cross. And this beam has been used over and over again. It's probably bloody already, dried blood on it, and the fresh blood from Jesus. So now he's ceremonially unclean. Now he cannot celebrate the Passover. What bad luck to come to the festival and then not be able to do it because he's ceremonially unclean, because a Roman soldier who cares nothing about the festival forced him to carry the cross of some poor, miserable person. And as he's carrying the cross, he observes something very strange. People know him, and they're crying for him, and they're calling him master, they're calling him rabbi. And who is this guy? Who is he? Whose cross am I carrying? And then the women are weeping for him, and the man says, "Don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and your children. Because soon there will be a siege against this city, and this city will be torn down." And so he gets to the cross, where the crosses are, and he puts it down, and perhaps he stays and watch as the Romans nail Christ to the cross and lift it up. Perhaps he gets out of there as soon as possible. But we know something about this man. We know his name. Why do we know his name? We know his name because he was known to the church. How did he get known to the church? At some time, he became a believer. Maybe he stayed that day and watched Jesus. Maybe he heard about him 3 days later at the resurrection, when all the town is talking about it. Maybe he went back home and he came again on Pentecost, and he heard Peter preach on Pentecost. Maybe it was years later. We don't know. But this man became a believer. Not just him. What does it say? Or I'm looking at there. You're looking up here. The father of Alexander and Rufus. These people, this is from Mark's gospel, these people were known to the church in the time of Mark's gospel. And so here's a man that came to faith, and his family came to faith. And not only that, but as Paul writes in Romans, at the end of Romans, he says, of 16:13, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me also." Now, this is the book of Romans written about 25 years after the resurrection. Now, he doesn't mention Simon. Maybe it's not the same Rufus. I think it is. But Simon doesn't mention Simon. It mentions his son. I think Simon was already in heaven. But his widow's there, and his son is carrying on as a leader in the church. So that's our first man, the one who carries the cross. Now think about that. He's carrying the cross for the one who's carrying the sins of the world. Christ, our sin bearer, needed a cross bearer. Was this Simon's unlucky day? Did he become ceremonially unclean? He experienced what all of the Passovers were pointing to. He was experiencing the fulfillment of all the sacrifices. Christ came to be that fulfillment. We're told in Hebrews, it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats and lambs and sheep over all those years to take away sin. No, for this reason, Jesus said, "You have prepared for me a body. I have come as the sacrifice to please you." Let's read again. "It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two." Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." And the next one. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." That's a pretty good artist's depiction, isn't it? Bowing there. Think of this man. This man, a centurion. He's a Roman officer. He's a professional soldier. What is he trained in? Killing. He knows what dead people look like. In fact, he's made a lot of people dead himself. In fact, his job was to execute people in the Roman style of crucifixion. So he was experienced in crucifying criminals. And he was watching, he was observing that day. He watched Jesus, he listened to Jesus, he saw the events going on that day. Perhaps he heard some or all of the 7 statements that Christ made while he was on the cross. He crucified a lot of people. He never heard anyone say this before. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." No one ever said that before. He never heard this before either. One man on a cross telling another man on the cross, "I tell you the truth, this day you will be with me in paradise." Or he was carrying, in his own pain and agony, he's caring for someone who's obviously dear to him. "Dear woman, here is your son, and here is your mother," he says to his disciple. Now, he didn't understand Hebrew, but he heard him cry out this, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." Maybe someone translated it for him, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I'm sure he heard a lot of them say this, "I thirst." I doubt he heard this, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And then he heard Jesus say, "It is finished." So he heard things that he had never heard before, and he'd been to many crucifixions. He realized that this man was being called by the Jews the King of the Jews. And I don't think he had too many of those that he killed before called the King of the Jews. And then he saw the Jewish leaders mock him. The people, many people, obviously he was dear to many people, yet here are the Jewish leaders mocking him. "Oh, if you've done miracles and saved other people, save yourself." He could save others, but he can't save himself. Actually, they had the verb wrong. He could save himself, but he wouldn't save himself. Because to save himself, then he couldn't save us. But he saved us at his own expense. "Oh, come down from the cross, then we'll believe in you." Really? They'd seen miracles before. Did that cause them to believe in him? No. And then after he was raised from the dead on the third day, did they believe in him? No. So he saw this mocking, and then he saw darkness. Darkness for the last 3 hours of Christ's life. He witnessed an earthquake, and then he could see Jesus, how he acted and what he said. This never happened before. Did he become a believer? We don't know. Other people saw miracles and were very impressed for a while, and then they went away the same as they did before. But he sure made a good confession. "This is a righteous man." this was a son of God, or probably thinking a son of one of the gods, because he was a Roman pagan. Let's read again and meet the third person. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." Now it's interesting that both of these men earlier joined in the mocking. Both of the men on the crosses mocked Jesus. "Oh, you're the Savior, you're the miracle worker, well, save yourself and us." But at some point, this man was watching Jesus like the centurion, and he realized he really is the King of the Jews, and he repented and he believed. Can you imagine what kind of faith would it take for one dying man to look at another dying man under the same agony and say, "Yes, you are the fulfillment of God's kingdom. You are the king promised by all the prophets, and you're going to bring in the kingdom." That takes a lot of faith. Paul tells us how foolish and weak that seems to many people. I'll read this. "Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength." This man, this thief on the cross, could see something that his disciples couldn't see, even though they were told many times ahead of time, and they didn't expect Jesus to be raised from the dead on the third day. But that's what happened. He appeared to them that day and many times for 40 days, and then they understood, but they still had to wait for the Holy Spirit to come on the day of Pentecost. But this man could see that, helped by the Holy Spirit, he could see that even while he was on the cross. He was most unusual. That's not typical. Most of us need to hear and be instructed over and over again. Why? Because we forget and we get busy and we get distracted. And so we need repetition and reminders. That's what we do at church. We remind ourselves of the truth. And when we do communion, what does it say? "When you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Remind yourselves about me. I died for you. My body was on the tree, my blood was shed. Remind yourselves until I come again." So we need that. So this is a tale of three men who were forced by circumstances to meet Jesus at the cross. They didn't want to do that. They didn't plan on doing that. But they realized it was for their good that it happened. Think of that. A festival pilgrim who was convinced that Christ fulfilled all of the prophecies, and a pagan Roman who was convinced by what he saw that Christ was the Son of God and a righteous man, and then a robber on the cross who probably tried to bring in God's kingdom by violence realized this one was bringing in the kingdom by his sacrifice. They didn't plan on it. They didn't want it. But it changed their lives. And so we have to ask ourselves, what about us? What about you? Has this news changed your life? Christ has died and he's risen again. Is that right? And what does this do? This changes everything. This changes everything. This is the truth. We need to grab hold of this truth and live it. Now, it's too late for you and me to have our names written like Simon's name, Simon the Cyrene, from Cyrene, and his sons Alexander and Rufus. It's too late for us to have our names written in the Bible. The Bible's already been written. But you can have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How do you do that? By trusting in what Christ did on the cross, the righteous for the unrighteous, his sacrifice taking our sins away, him being our sin bearer, and then the resurrection saying, yes, God has accepted that, and we are justified. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the story of Jesus and how it came to fulfillment on the cross and then in the empty tomb 3 days later. Thank you for these men, these three men, whose lives intersected with yours, and they show the right response to Christ. To believe that he was a righteous man, that he was the Son of God, that he's the King bringing in the kingdom, and that we too can be in paradise with him. Thank you for that. Help each person here to make sure that this is true in their lives. And help us to live this truth as we go forward, being your witnesses, telling more people so they also can understand and believe in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen.